After our Lord's agony in the garden and sweat of blood, he was taken to the home of Annas and then to the home of Caiaphas, the high priest. Here he was sentenced to death by the Sanhedrin, which was the ruling body of Israel. But as a conquered people, the Jews had no authority to carry out the death sentence. This power was reserved to the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate. And so early in the morning on Good Friday, our Lord was dragged before the governor for execution. Pilate was not pleased at being disturbed so early by this rabble. He came forward to his judgment seat and demanded to know why this prisoner had been treated so shamefully, why our Lord had been beaten and disfigured before he had even been judged. The guards led our Lord up the stairs which ascended the praetorium as the Pharisees tried to explain to Pilate that Christ was a malefactor. He was a disturber of the peace. They said he had forbade the people to pay tribute to Caesar. Pontius Pilate knew something of our Lord already from the reports that had reached him after the triumphant procession on Palm Sunday. And Pilate also knew something of Caiaphas and the chief priests. Sacred Scripture says Pilate knew that our Lord had been delivered up because of jealousy. And so the governor told the Jews to go and try our Lord according to their own law and punish him as they saw fit. He was not going to get involved in their religious squabbles. "We have tried him," the Jews cried out, "but it is unlawful for us to put any man to death." Pilate thought that perhaps he could rid himself of the problem by sending Christ to King Herod for trial. Herod was the puppet king whom the Romans permitted to rule in Galilee. He happened to be in Jerusalem at the time, and so our Lord was once again dragged through the streets to the palace of this vain and worldly man who really cared nothing about the religious observances our Lord had supposedly violated. In fact, the only interest Herod took in Christ was as some kind of magician. He hoped our Lord might perform some miracles to entertain him and his court. But when Jesus would not so much as answer a word to Herod, the king merely clothed him in the white garment of a fool and dismissed him. Herod sent our Lord back to Pilate with the message that he could find nothing in our Lord worthy of punishment. It was now just after 8 o'clock in the morning. Pilate struck upon a new plan to release our Lord, for he had in his custody at the time a notorious criminal, a murderer named Barabbas. There was a custom that on the feast of the Passover, a prisoner should be released from custody back into his community. And so Pilate thought he could use this custom to get out of this disagreeable business, for surely no one would want a murderer back on the streets. "Whom should I release unto you?" Pilate asked, pointing to our Lord and then pointing to Barabbas. He was shocked when the mob, under the influence of the Pharisees, roared back, "Away with this man, give us Barabbas." "But what shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ?" asked Pilate, again in disbelief. "Crucify him, crucify him," came back the answer. Pilate Pilate still had one last effort to make. It's true, it was a mockery of justice, for he and Herod had both declared our Lord to be innocent. But this weak, evasive Roman had one more trick, one which might move the people to pity so that he could release our Lord. "I will chastise him," he said, pointing to our Lord. "But then I will let him go." Scourging is a punishment which has been used by various cultures in the past to humiliate and punish criminals. One historian says that the Roman scourging was the worst. Horace says that it was 100 times more painful than death. It was so severe and degrading that Roman law prohibited a scourging from being inflicted upon Roman citizens. It could only be used to punish foreigners, captives, and slaves. The scourge used for this cruel torture was a leather whip loaded with small balls of lead on the end, which would tear and shred the flesh at each stroke. The historian Eusebius, writing about the martyrs who were put to death by scourging, as many were, he said that all the onlookers were horrified to see them so torn with scourges that their inner muscles and sinews were laid bare. And this was the chastisement inflicted upon our Lord, whom Pilate had just declared innocent. Our Lord was led to a low stone pillar, so low that the prisoner had to bend over in order for his hands to be fastened thereto. Our Savior was stripped of his garments before the crude gaze of the mob, and 6 strong soldiers surrounded him on all sides. And then 2 at a time, they began the work of stripping our Lord's flesh from his sacred body. Almost at once, the prisoner fell to the ground as his legs gave out from the intense pain. His precious blood began to pool beneath him on the cold, rough stone as the blows rained down. Our Lady told St. Bridget that in a short time, our Lord's ribs were exposed by the lashes, as the soldiers continued to beat his prostrate form. After some time, they paused for a moment to unchain one of his wrists so that our Lord could be turned on his back. And then the blows began again upon his breast and legs. St. Louis de Montfort says that our Lord received 5,000 blows in the course of the scourging. Another historian says that the beating lasted about 45 minutes and ordinarily would have caused a person's death. In this event of the Passion was fulfilled many of the prophecies concerning the Messiah. It was customary, after having slain the Paschal Lamb, to remove the skin from the body before it was sacrificed and consumed. Now the Lamb of God had been stripped of his flesh and was ready for sacrifice. Prophets had foretold this scene. "The wicked have wrought on my back," wrote King David. "I have been scourged all the day, and my chastisement hath been in the morning." Isaiah said, "The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes, his scourges, we are healed." St. Alphonsus, commenting on this scene, says, "It is certain that the scourging was the most cruel of the tortures inflicted upon our Lord, and that it was the principal cause of his death. For the largest portion of his precious blood was poured out on the stone pavement of Pilate's courtyard. Behold me, O my Jesus," exclaims St. Alphonsus. "Behold me, I am thy most cruel executioner. For I have scourged thee with my sins. Have pity upon me, O my loving Savior." And my dear faithful, our Lord shall indeed have pity upon the repentant sinner. For even as the blows rain down upon him, the precious blood which shall wash us clean of our sins was poured out. And it is in the confessional that this precious blood is applied to the souls of men. This afternoon you will have the chance to go to confession. You'll have the chance to make things right with our Lord, if necessary. Perhaps it's been many years since a person's last good confession. Perhaps it's been a long time since a person has had peace of soul and the joy of a calm conscience. But these things can be fixed today, if only a person will ask our Lord for the grace to conquer shame and fear, and humbly ask pardon for his sins. Indeed, I can tell you there is no duty or penance a priest would ever lay upon a penitent which would be as heavy as the weight of guilt and remorse which the penitent already bears. And it's very sad to think that perhaps some carry this heavy weight of conscience their entire lives, and in the end they cast their own souls into hell because they fear the light and sweet yoke of the confessional. They die without the peace which was always within reach. Make a good confession today, my dear friends, and pray to our Lord in the words of St. Alphonsus, "O Savior of the world, in thy flesh torn with scourges, I comprehend the love thou hast borne me, and my ingratitude in having so injured thee after such love. Miserable man that I am, I have well known that by losing thy grace, I condemn myself to live forever in despair and far from thee in hell. But thy blood is my hope. O Mary, Mother of God, and refuge of sinners, pray for me. Obtain for me the grace of loving God, and I will ask for nothing more."